Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio on Seattle's Cairo Radio. Long-Term Care Radio is brought to you in part by 525 Advisors, your local long-term care experts. Brian Ott is a certified long-term care planning specialist and will show you how to protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of a long-term care situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting options you need to know about. Now, here's your host, Brian Ott.
Hey, welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in to Long-Term Care Radio and the Long-Term Care Radio podcast. You know, one of the big questions we always get is really who should look into long-term care planning. And I think there's a lot of misinformation out there on this subject, and today we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that. And here's kind of just some bullet points I want you to think about. You know, do you want to stay in your home for as long as possible? And what I mean by that is if we look at it statistically, people with long-term care insurance, 3 out of 4 of those people will start their long-term care journey in their own home. So again, long-term care is when we need help from others just to get through the day. It's to support that independent living. So 3 out of 4 people start that journey in their own home. Now, if we look at it statistically, who has long-term care insurance, about 70% of those people are able to age almost their entire journey in their home. I mean, if we take out like the last week of maybe hospice care or something, if they're moved, but as a general rule, they're able to age at home. Now, we contrast that to people without long-term care insurance. The path is completely different. We have less than 10% of people are actually able to age at home. And the main reason why is they just don't have the resources. They don't have the ability to get the help that they need in their home. They're relying on family. Their family can only do so much. And then they end up blowing through their assets. They end up on Medicaid. Medicaid does not come in and take care of you in your home. They're going to warehouse you in a nursing home still. That's the vast majority of Medicaid recipients, unless you have a big support team around you with family that can provide that care. So number one, if you want to stay in your home, you should look into long-term care insurance. Number two, do you want to protect your family and not become a burden on loved ones? I will just tell you personally, 95% of my clients, this is the driving force. Everybody thinks it's about money. It's about getting the money to pay the high costs, and that's part of it. But really, when we peel that onion back and we talk to our clients, the number one reason a lot of these my clients put these plans in place is so they don't burden their children. So they have a plan. They have that 800 number. They have that concierge care service. They have that team of professionals that is going to help them manage their care in a time of need. Okay, the money's going to fund it, but you also have those professionals that help you manage it. And that takes the burden off of your children having to sit there and make those ongoing complex decisions that are involved in a long-term care situation. Another thing I want you to think about is if you want to stay in control of your care options. And what I mean by this is if I don't have a plan, what am I doing? I've got to go out and hire somebody and I'm going to start spending the money. And for a lot of the middle class people, they go broke and then they run out of choices. So Madeline, our case manager, it's a classic story. Her mom was working at Microsoft. Her health became compromised. It got very complicated very quickly. She ended up in long-term care. She lost her job. She spent through her money. She spent through retirement funds. Ended up on Medicaid, became a ward of the state, and the state then dictated to Madeline's mom where she was going to live and where she was going to be. So the idea of long-term care insurance is that you have those resources to make sure you're getting that care, and you can afford to be in the place you want. If that's your home, that's a particular assisted living facility, but you stay in control of your care options. So that's another thing that you really want to consider. And then lastly, you want to avoid liquidating your assets. That's what most people think is most important about long-term care insurance, and I disagree. It's, you know, money is one thing. You're not going to die on the bench out by the park because you run out of money. You'll end up in the Medicaid system. But the idea is that money that you protect, those assets, that becomes your legacy. That's money that we are now moving on to the next generation instead of paying for a nursing home or assisted living or those home health care workers, because we have insurance that's going to fund our care. So the idea of who should look into long-term care insurance is really people that want to, you know, stay in their own home, they want to protect their family, they want to stay in control of their care options, and they want to protect their assets and protect their legacy. That's really who should start looking into that. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this is because our phone is going nuts. Our email is blowing up. In Washington State, we are forced to either get long-term care insurance or we're going to pay a payroll tax until we retire. And then they're going to give us $100 a day at some point in the future for a year. That's it. So a lot of people are being forced to look into long-term care insurance, but they still don't know what it is. They haven't thought about it. They don't understand why they need it or why it's important. Now, I will just tell you, over my career in this industry, I look at it and I think there is a lot of misinformation on the way long-term care insurance has been marketed. They've generally gone to the middle class. So, you know, like I've said, I've heard this before. Rick Edelman, financial advisor, great guy, great reputation. I'm not picking on him. But he says he has this ad out there that, you know, the poor people don't need to worry about long-term care insurance because they're going to end up on Medicaid. And the wealthy people don't need to worry about it because they have enough money. So again, it's coming back down to just simply a money issue. But here's where the industry has missed that. The middle class is what it's been targeted at right now. That is not really the sweet spot for long-term care. The more assets you have, the more you have to protect. That's the bottom line. But when we look at this, traditionally, long-term care insurance planning has been aimed at that middle class segment. But due to new programs that we have out there now and recent changes at the state and the federal level, we've got different programs that are going to work on different ends of the yardstick. So if you have a very small estate, maybe you have a pension and Social Security, but you only have $100,000 or $200,000 in your IRA, that's your whole nest egg, you would still maybe want to look at long-term care insurance, but you would want to look at that state partnership program. Because before that state partnership program came out, you would go through your money, and then you would end up on Medicaid. Well, what that says now is if you have $200,000 in your IRA, and I design a very small long-term care insurance plan that has $200,000 of coverage total, so that's all the money you have in your bucket, and you spend through that in a few years, and now you still need help, well, now you can apply for Medicaid, and under state partnership programs, you can protect that $200,000 IRA dollar for dollar. Every dollar the insurance company paid out on your behalf is a dollar of liquid assets that you get to protect. And when you die, the state does not come back and try to recapture it. Like on Medicaid, if you end up passing away and you own a home, you were on Medicaid, they're going to come back and there's going to be a lien on your home. They legally, by law, have to go in and try to recapture any money they paid out of your estate. So those new state partnership programs have helped some of the poor people just put up a small plan. And we have some clients that, you know, on traditional plans have very small plans, but the whole idea is it's a state partnership qualified plan that's going to allow them to protect assets, which is crucial. Because remember, when you go on Medicaid, not only do you have to spend your assets down, they take your income. So you would still lose your income on Medicaid, but you could protect some assets. So if it would, you know, you were in an assisted living facility and the Medicaid reimbursement was $5,000 and they wanted $6,000, you would still have the assets to pay that extra $1,000 and stay in that facility. So then if we look at the other end of the yardstick, some of the programs that came out, that is really the Pension Protection Act plan. That was passed in 2010, or went into effect in 2010. I'm sorry, it was signed into law in 2006, but it went into effect in 2010. And that's what really created all of these new asset-based or hybrid policies, whatever you call them. The IRS calls them linked benefits. It's long-term care insurance linked with another benefit. Now, that is going to be really aimed at the wealthier end of the spectrum. So if you have assets and you're going to self-insure, these asset-based plans provide a better way to do it. They give you guaranteed leverage day one. They give you guaranteed tax-free benefits if you go on claim. And in many cases, they're going to provide a tax-free benefit back to the estate if you don't use it. And in a lot of cases, you can design those plans. It's actually going to be more money coming back to the estate than you put in. You hear me talk about them all the time. I've got one today on the client of the week, so stick around for that. But I want you to understand that that's what's changed now. Traditionally, the market's always been, hey, well, if you have some magical number, 700,000, 500,000, 1 million, 2 million, whatever the number is the advisor throws out there, you're okay. You can just self-insure. But I'm telling you what, folks, 99% of my clients that have asset-based plans could probably self-insure. They would be fine. The idea is you want the long-term care insurance because you want the advantages of these asset-based plans. And for the people that are on the other end of the spectrum, because of that state partnership plan, we can set up a very small plan that is going to have some meaningful benefits. You may still end up on Medicaid, but you will be able to protect some assets and have access to those assets. And so that's what's really great. Now, the key thing about that is you know, we're still thinking of it as a money issue, but I'm telling you, the wealthier people, the asset-based plans, it's a better way to self-insure. And for the people that are kind of in that middle class or lower middle class, they might want to look more at a state partnership plan, which is a smaller bucket of money, a smaller policy, you know, less expensive for that policy, but it's going to give you some very meaningful benefits. So stick around. We're going to take a quick break real quick. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about when is the best time to look into long-term care planning. I touched a little bit on it last week. I'm going to pick that up again. We'll be right back.
Many people with near or over $1 million in assets will mistakenly pay more in taxes in a long-term care situation than it would have cost them to set up an insurance plan to pay for the care needed. Learn more by attending Brian's free asset-based class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
Having a long-term care plan brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It also allows you to stay in control of your care options. And maybe most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. At Story Monson, I highly recommend doing what my wife and I did. Learn about all the new long-term care plans offered by Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. Brian's the host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. You can sign up for one of his upcoming live webinars at 525longtermcare.com. Brian will teach you everything you need to know about long-term care, including all the new plans that are available. They protect your savings, they protect your family, and the plan we got pays us back if we never use it. Sign up for one of Brian's live webinars at 525longtermcare.com. It's free to attend, and you'll learn so much. Brian's class was a real eye-opener for my wife and me. Long-term care is so important. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. You know, you heard the ads. I actually do not have a webinar on the website right now for September. I'm not sure that we're going to do one. We are in kind of crisis mode out here in Washington State right now with long-term care and options. I'll talk a little bit about that in the last segment before we go today, but we do have lots of information on our website. We can get you the book. We can get you the videos of some of these webinars if you're interested in that, so always let us know. But we will get back into it hopefully when we get more back into a normal market, and we'll start having those regular webinars because we try to do at least two a month, which is just a great way to learn. So last week, I talked a little bit about when is the best time to look into long-term care planning, and people ask me this all the time, and I just want to really sum this up real quick, and then we'll move on to some different topics. But the best time is when, A, you're healthy, and B, you can afford it. That's just the truth. The problem with waiting is that you take the risk of becoming uninsurable, number one, and number two, the cost of the insurance becomes more and more expensive as you age. So if I'm 55, I take out a policy and somebody at 65 takes out that exact same policy, the 65-year-old is going to pay a lot more for the same amount of insurance. And when you add it up, if we both went on claim at age 85, the 65-year-old would still pay as much in premiums as or more than the 55-year-old, even though the 55-year-old paid for 10 more years. Plus, the 55-year-old member was covered for 10 more years, too. People get in accidents all the time, and they can trigger claims under age 65. So just keep that in mind. The best time to look into a plan is when you can afford it, when you're healthy. And the way I put my first plan in place when I was in my 40s was just a small traditional plan, and then I upgraded to an asset-based plan when I was 50. If you're still healthy enough, you can do that. But get something meaningful while you're healthy, and if you can upgrade or get a better policy, great. Do it. Improve it. But if not, at least you still have some kind of coverage in place, because once you put a plan in place, they cannot take it away from you if your health changes. So that's really nice. And the bottom line with long-term care planning, it's your health that determines your eligibility. That's just the bottom line. It's your health that determines your eligibility to get a plan. It's your premiums that keep that policy in force, but if you're not healthy enough to get it, and I've had several, 40-year-olds that have been turned down. Their health is already compromised to a point with, an autoimmune disease or something that's going on right now that it's, they're always looking at your health as kind of a timestamp. You may heal up and become better down the road, but right now is what they're looking at. So keep that in mind. I want to talk about a few things to consider about, a few things to consider when you're thinking about long-term care planning. And number one, takeaway, there is no standard plan out there. I will have people that will phrase things to me like, we want to look at the 525 plan. And it's like, well, it's not my plan. I am an independent agent. We are an independent brokerage. We work with all the different carriers. Our job is to guide you through and find that plan that's going to fit best for your situation, whether it's a traditional, whether it's an asset base. And then we also design how we're going to fund that plan. For some people, they'll walk in with a lump sum. Some people will spread the payments out over their lifetime. Some people will spread the payments out over 5 or 10 years. Sometimes you'll do a combination of two, maybe a small deposit and maybe 5 or 10 payments. So there is no standard plan. What you're doing is you are designing that plan, and that plan is going to be specific to your situation. So just I understand the frustration when people don't understand what long-term care insurance is, but I tell you, you're buying a bucket of money. So you're designing, number one, how much money is in that bucket. It could be $100,000, $500,000. It could be an unlimited amount of money. That's what I have. Number two thing you're designing is how much money can I take out of that bucket when I trigger a claim. So that's really described as a monthly benefit. I want $5,000 a month or $10,000 a month. And then you also decide, do I want any riders on there or any features? Do I want that bucket of money to grow over time? Do I want it to compound? So that's what they call an inflation rider, which again is not tied to inflation. It's just a compounding effect, 3% or 5%. The idea is that your bucket of money keeps up with the rising costs over time or keeps up with inflation. So you're designing all of that when you sit down and put a plan in place. And a lot of it for people, it's going to be based on the premium. It's the same as when we're going out to buy a car. We all may want the S-Class Mercedes with all the G-Wiz features and the heated and cooled seats and the best engine and all that stuff. But then you look at the price tag and you're like, I can probably get by with the Honda Accord. That might work for us right now. So, again, you are in control of that. And so that's our job, is to kind of guide you through that and help you figure that out. Another thing I want you to consider, joint policies versus shared care policies. So this is important for couples. If I've got a couple, there are joint policies, which mean both people can pull out of that same bucket of money. Now, if I have a limited pool of money, like $500,000, one person could use all $500,000 and leave the other person without any long-term care insurance at all. So you need to be aware of that. Our most popular plan by far is an unlimited lifetime plan. That's what I have. It's a joint policy. I can reach in every month and pull out my benefit. My wife can reach in and pull out her benefit every month. It never runs out. I cannot use up all the insurance. She cannot use up all the insurance. And we have no effect on the benefit that the other person's going to get. So keep that in mind on a joint policy. Another way that couples share benefits is what they call shared care. So I have a policy. My wife has a policy. If I use up all of my policy, then I can dip into her policy. We see that on traditional plans. They're not on the asset-based plans. They are on traditional pay-as-you-go plans. So, for instance, Mutual of Omaha has a shared care policy. I can use up my I have 4 years of coverage, and I use all four years of coverage. I can dip into my wife's, but if she has 4 years of coverage, I have to leave her at least 1 year of coverage under state law. That's been a little twist here. My grandmother had a shared care policy. It was 2 years for her, 2 years for her husband. She used all of her bucket of money, and then she went over and used all of her husband's bucket of money. She's used every dollar of it. So that's the downside about those shared cares, is you can actually dip into each other's bucket of money, and you're going to take that money out, but that's taking away benefit from the spouse. So that's why I really like the joint policies with lifetime benefits, or we do two individual policies, so one person cannot exhaust the other person's policy. So those are things to keep in mind if you are in a relationship, if you're a couple. Now, some other things that I want you to keep in mind is that long-term care insurance premiums are treated as health insurance by the IRS. So that makes them deductible for businesses. If they're taxed as a C corporation, they can deduct 100% of the premiums. If they are an S corporation, or you're a sole proprietor, or you're a partnership, or if you're an employee and you have a health savings account, you can still deduct some premiums, but those premiums are going to be based on your age. And they raise those amounts every year. But if we look back in like 2020, so this is a year old, it's this year it's about $1,670 for a 50 to 60 year old. And if you were 60 to 70, it's going to be close to $4,500. It's like $4,460. So keep that in mind, that if you have a business, there is a way to write off some of those premiums. If you're a C corporation, you can write off 100% of the premiums, and that's on a traditional plan. If we go to the hybrid or the asset base, and what I mean by hybrid is part of that is going to be another benefit. So part of it might be some kind of life insurance, a universal life or a whole life policy underneath there to return premium to the estate. But the other bucket, like the lifetime benefit, for instance, is just considered pure long-term care insurance. Some companies will separate out those premiums. If you're writing a check for $10,000 a year, maybe they have it broken down where $4,000 is going to the life insurance and $6,000 is going to the long-term care. If they separate that for you, you can still deduct that long-term care premium. And our best companies do that. They always do that, because I tell everybody, when we're taking the intake and we're getting your information, if you're a business owner, I'm going to look at ways of maybe, hey, let's do a deposit and then let's carve out some of this, because you can pay that out of your business, this amount. Or if you have a big health savings account, and every once in a while I'll run into somebody that's got $60,000 or $70,000 in a health savings account and say, well, you can pay X amount of premiums per year out of that per person. So keep that in mind, that there are some tax deductibilities out there, and it's just a really great way to take advantage of the current IRS rules, because the benefits still come back to you tax-free. So just some things to consider when we're designing a plan. There's no standard plan. There's joint policies. There's shared care policies. And then, of course, you have all the individual policies. And there can be some ways to deduct some of the premium out there, depending how you're set up and if your business is, you, especially if you're a business owner. So we're going to head into our next break, and I want you to stick around. When we come back, I got a great client of the week this week. It's Ed and Patricia. I will introduce you to them and share with you what we did for them and why it was important. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com.
The fact is, most of us have known somebody who needed long-term care. That's when a person reaches a stage in life requiring somebody else to help with basic daily activities due to physical conditions or a cognitive disease. Now, most of the time, long-term care starts in the home, which allows the individual to stay in a familiar setting. The price for long-term care can be expensive, and it could go on for years. Financial experts suggest purchasing long-term care insurance before you retire. Why? Because 7 out of 10 65-year-olds will need some sort of long-term care in the future. If you've never looked at long-term care insurance because you didn't know where to start, now you know where to start with 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors, local experts specializing in long-term care insurance, and they have plans that are guaranteed to pay you back if you never make use of them. Protect yourself and your family members from the financial cost of extended health care. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Sign up for the next free long-term care live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now.
now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio, and thanks again for tuning in. You know, I got to tell you, we've got quite a few listeners on our podcast as well, so if you ever miss an episode, always jump our podcast. You can get that at 525longtermcare.com, or you can just ask your smart speaker to play it. But the idea of this show, it's to really just bring some different topics and get you aware. My problem with this industry is we're trying to sell a product that most people don't understand. And we believe at 525 Advisors, you need to start with education. Become your own advocate. Do not let somebody sell you something. If you remember a few weeks ago, you know, I was telling you we had that client that came in and her dad was in long-term care, but the policy wasn't paying and it was a horrible policy. It was a facility-only policy with a 365-day elimination period. And so we're trying to bring things to the forefront, up front of it. Joint policies, for instance, shared care, so you kind of understand the language a little bit and then sit down and don't get sold something. And if you read our reviews on our website, you'll see exactly that's what we do. We're not going to sell you. We're not going to convince you that you need this. Most of our clients want long-term care insurance. We're going to help guide you to make sure that we have you with the best company and a plan that fits your particular circumstances. And this week, I want to introduce you to Ed and Patricia. Ed is 67. Patricia is 63. They came to us for long-term care planning a few months ago. Excuse me. Ed is retired, and Patricia is still working as a CPA. They have two adult children. Both of their kids live out of the state, and they have one grandchildren. Now, here's what's very interesting about this. Pat came to, you know, she wanted to look into this. Pat's mom passed away earlier this year, and she was in assisted living for the last 6 years of her life. And as a CPA, Pat had seen, you know, quite a few families go through long-term care. She had talked to Ed about it. Ed said, you know, we're fine. We have money. We have the resources. We don't need to worry about this. But it was always kind of in the back of her mind, I need to really look into this. And it wasn't until her mom passed away and Pat was going through the estate where Pat realized that her mom had received over $700,000 of benefits out of her long-term care insurance, tax-free. She had a lifetime benefit. She had an older plan. This is traditional pay-as-you-go plan. It's what my mom has. Lifetime benefits, you'll never run out of it. So when she was going through this, this intrigued Pat because, I'm going to just be honest with you, Pat inherited money from the estate. So she was going through and she was doing the math and she said her mom's total insurance premiums were less than $50,000. So she paid in a little bit less than $50,000 in premiums over the years. She pulled $700,000 out tax-free. Now, do the math on that. You're trading pennies for dollars. That's what long-term care insurance does. Now, the way Pat knew how much mom or her money her mom got out of this policy was that every insurance company will put out what they call a 1099 LTCR. So that stands for long-term care. Or I'm sorry, 1099 LTC. There's no R on it. It's just a 1099 LTC. The 1099 is what we get if we get, you know, interest from a bank, or if you take a withdrawal from a retirement account, you get a 1099-R. It's just an income statement. It shows how much income you received. Well, with long-term care on a reimbursement policy like her mom had, there's no tax consequences. It's just that those insurance companies by law put those things out. And then also, remember I was talking about the state partnership plan? Under the state partnership plan, when someone goes into long-term care, they use up their insurance and they run out, they can apply for Medicaid. They can protect assets equal to what the insurance company paid out. Well, that's how they know, because they have a 1099, so they can go in and verify how much money the insurance company paid out. So do the math on this. I mean, she was just like, wow, we got to look at this. Now, again, Ed was, you know, I tell you, I stereotype, but there's a lot of men like this. A lot of men just, you know, it feels like they're betting against themselves. They don't think they need long-term care. They think it's a waste. They've worked hard. They have money. They're not looking at it from the bigger picture. Pat's mom was in a very complex situation, but she had memory issues. She was in an assisted living, but she had the insurance and she had the care coordination, and they had those people that were working with Medicare and making sure the acute care was paid by Medicare. And Pat really looked at this and said, you know, my mom had a really nice existence there at the assisted living facility. She goes, but we did too. There wasn't a lot of work for us. And she goes, I don't want to be a burden to my kids. So again, we're back to that point. We don't want to be a burden on our kids. We don't want our kids to have to give up their life to try to figure this out. So it was a very interesting, I love that. Most of the people that we help, they have some experience with it, or they've seen a family member or a friend go through this. And Pat thought, you know, she's at 63. She said, I probably should have looked into this sooner. I see this in our clients. I know how expensive this can be. I see people going through money. My husband was always kind of against it. But it was the eye opener when she went in and she looked at her mom's estate and she said, look, honey, we got this inheritance because my mom had long-term care insurance. If she did not have that long-term care insurance, that money would have been used. $700,000 would have been gone. And so that's what really motivated her, because she said, I'm in the same situation. I would rather have my money go to my children than go to facility or healthcare workers or whatever it is. So they came in and we started talking about the different options and some of the things we want to do. And again, Ed was like, okay, you know, I'm going to follow here. You know, Patricia was kind of driving the bus on this. She was the CPA. She was the one good with numbers. And she said, you know, here's our options. You can do a pay-as-you-go plan like your mom did. The problem is those premiums today for a 63 and 67-year-old would be multiple times higher than what they would have been for her mom. So, because her mom got her policy earlier, and again, pricing has changed. Remember, some of those old plans, when her mom took it out, interest rates were at 7, 8% on treasuries. We're down to 2%. So we've really seen an increase in pricing. We've also seen an increase in claims. So these carriers have adjusted those rates up. So when we looked at the traditional pay-as-you-go, it was very expensive, and there's no other benefit to it. And so when I started pushing back, I said, how would you fund a plan? If you're going to set a plan up, what would be your best way, your simplest way to fund this plan? And Patricia said, I'm going to take some of this inheritance money I got from my mom, and I just want to deposit in there. She goes, I wouldn't have this money anyway. So if I can put this money into a plan and get it to work and get us some protection and get that money back if I don't use it, she said, that is a win-win. That is how we're going to fund a plan. And, you know, again, Ed agreed on that. That made a lot of sense. They just got a little bounty from her mom that they weren't counting on. They didn't need the money, so let's put it to work and protect our estate for our kids and our grandchildren. So that's what we did. We started talking about benefits. How do we want to do this? What's important? And one of the things that Pat brought up right out of the gate was that, you know, her mom had a lifetime benefit plan, and she used it for just a little over 6 years. And my grandmother had 4 years of coverage. She was on claim for closer to 6 years as well, too. So from a physical impairment point of view, about a third of the people die in a year. And the average claim, in fact, I was just talking to an advisor this week, and he's been, you know, this financial advisor and doing this for 25 years, and he kept telling me 2 years. I said, you're looking at nursing home data. If we look at it from the insurance point of view, if you're on claim for a year and you make it, you're probably going to be on claim for about 5.5 years from a physical impairment. If it's a cognitive impairment, it's going to be probably between 7 and 10 years. Because remember, on a cognitive impairment, you trigger the claim right away. Pat's mom had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. She started out slow. She was able to stay at home. They had family and friends over there. But she said, you know, really, she could have turned that policy on probably a couple years earlier. But of course, you know, in the early stages, the people, especially in cognitive situation, they don't really feel they need that help. So she was looking at it saying, look, I want to be insured in case I end up in a situation like my mom. I want to be able to get the help as early as I can. And I don't want to be, you know, a burden to my family. And Ed was there along for the ride, but Ed agreed. I said, what happens to you, Ed? What happens if you have a stroke? Do you want your wife taking care of you? Do you want her to be able to have the people to come in and provide that care? He said, no, I want my wife to be able to get those people to come in and provide the care, or I'll go to a place if that's the best place for me. So we talked about options, and we decided that, yes, we're going to look at a plan that provides lifetime benefits. And so, again, lifetime benefits, a joint plan, one bucket of money. Each person can pull out of that bucket of money without having an effect on the other person. So then we started talking about benefits. Remember, you're designing that bucket of money. Okay, we know we want an unlimited bucket of money. How much money do you want to be able to pull out of that plan every single month when you're on claim? Well, we don't know. That's the million-dollar question. So what we really looked at is we started kind of penciling around some numbers. We looked at $6,000, $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, kind of came around. We can also go at it from a different way. I said, you can just say, I want to deposit X amount of money, and it'll spit us out a random benefit, like $9,312 a month. But Patricia, again, being a numbers gal, said, look, I think that right now if we had $5,000 a month guaranteed coming in, I would be happy with that. I said, okay, what about inflation? Yes, I'd like it to grow. The problem with inflation right now is because the bond rates are so low that the insurance company is saying, look, we're getting 2% return on our money. We're guaranteeing growth of 3%. We don't know if the bond rates are going to go up or down, so we're going to raise the cost on those inflation riders. So I said the other alternative we can look at is what if we go to $10,000 a month, double what you think you would be comfortable with, because now it's going to take 24 years, 23 and a half years at 3% for that $5,000 to turn to $10,000. That puts you guys well out into your 80s. So why don't we look at possibly just putting a bigger plan, because it's also going to give you more return to the estate. And she said, I like that idea. So that's what we did. We designed a plan that's going to give both Ed and Patricia $10,000 a month of long-term care for as long as they need it. It's $120,000 a year per person. If they're both on claim, $240,000 a year will come out tax-free for an unlimited amount of time. Now, they funded this with, again, taking some inheritance money that Pat had, and she just wrote one check. She wrote one check for $310,000. Now, specifically, $310,280. So that's what I mean. We come up with the monthly benefit. Then the calculator is going to spit out how much we have to deposit. Or we could come in and say we're going to deposit an even $300,000, and it would give us an odd monthly benefit like $99,87.42 or something. But $10,000 a month for life, they bought it with a single deposit of $310,000. Now, here's the catch. Unlike Pat's mom's policy, this is an asset-based plan. If they never used a plan, $333,000 is paid back to the estate. They put $310,000 in, they're guaranteed to get a little bit more than they put in back. Now, the trade-off is if they only use $100,000, that $333,000 is still paid back minus any long-term care benefits paid out. So they would still get, you know, the estate would still get $233,000. So what Pat's simply saying is she's looking at this as a CPA and saying, I'm really just moving this money from this account over here. It's always going to be there. I said, that's exactly right. What you're doing is you're trading interest, or the interest that that money could earn, for insurance, for an unlimited insurance. And that leverage starts today. They each have $10,000 a month for life right now today. So that is the leverage that you get with insurance. And so it was just a no-brainer for Pat. She's doing the math. She's somewhat conservative. She's a CPA. She's like, I'm not going to put this money in the stock market anyway. She goes, I have 401ks. We have retirement accounts. We have savings. That makes sense to me. So that's how we funded that plan. Now, look what this really does for them, too. It gives them some wonderful benefits. This particular plan, the same plan that I personally have for myself and my wife, concierge-level claim support. That means if a claim happens, you call, they will help you get the claim turned on. They will help you find the caregivers. They will help you find a facility if that's where you want to go. You've got access to the care coordination, the case managers, the people that you need to really, like I say, the travel guide, that person to help you in a time of need so the kids don't have to try to figure it out. Now, you're still in control of where you go. That's not a problem. You still decide, this is what I want to do. I want to receive care at home. They're just going to help you weed through the agencies and make sure they find the agency that fits for you guys and you get the level of care you need. They also are going to give them some additional benefits for caregiver training. So two times that monthly benefit. So in this case, $20,000. They can take a class on Alzheimer's. They can take a class on medicine or management of medicine, whatever it is. They can do all of those things. And they can also spend $20,000 out of this policy on home improvement, medical equipment. So that would be, okay, I have the event, a stroke. I need to come home now, but I'm on a walker. We need an access ramp. We need to pull some carpet up and put hardwood floors in. We make some adjustments to our house to make it safe and an appropriate environment to age in. They'll give you $20,000 for that as well, too. And again, 0 day waiting for home health care, 0 day waiting for those benefits. They have that insurance today. They're not waiting for it. They're guaranteed to get more money back. And folks, I will tell you, this is what just frustrates me with the financial advisors. When you look at this, They're looking at it saying, well, we could grow that money. But what they're really looking at when the financial advisors, a lot of them are sitting there saying, well, I'm earning 1% to 2% a year on that money. That's money at, I mean, that's their residual income, right? Assets under management. And I'm not stereotyping. Not all advisors are like that. We get quite a few financial advisors that seek us out to help their clients. But what we're saying is you have to look at the guaranteed leverage. This is not going to sit in a mutual fund and hope that the money's there when the market's, you know, up or down when you go on claim. You don't have to worry about any of that. You're not hoping that the money's there. We've got a guaranteed benefit. If they both go out and get in a car crash tomorrow, they've got $240,000 tax-free coming in for the rest of their lives, and it's going to protect their assets. It's going to protect everything they've worked hard for. It's going to take the burden off of their kids of trying to figure out how to get mom and dad to help. And it's going to help them protect their legacy. And that's what insurance does. It provides guarantees. That's why these plans work so well for the people that are trying to self-insure. And I mean, what's the alternative? What Pat said is like, yeah, we could spend our money down, but we'd have to go through this bucket, then that bucket. And she looks at her mom's estate and she said, you know, my mom died and she had an additional $700,000 in her estate that she would not have had. And it cost her pennies to protect that estate. And she said, that's worth it. And in this case, yes, you're trading a little bit of interest on that money you're earning, but you're going to protect everything you've worked hard for. So, whew, again, I got to take a break, come up for air. Stick around. We'll be right back and we'll finish up the show.
Due to recent changes in the Pension Protection Act, new asset-based plans guarantee a tax-free benefit for long-term care and pay you back with interest if you never use it. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free classes at 525longtermcare.com.
Having a long-term care plan brings certainty to a very uncertain situation. It also allows you to stay in control of your care options. And maybe most importantly, it brings peace of mind to your family during an extremely stressful situation. At Story Monson, I highly recommend doing what my wife and I did. Learn about all the new long-term care plans offered by Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. Brian's the host of Long-Term Care Radio right here on Cairo. You can sign up for one of his upcoming live webinars at 525longtermcare.com. Brian will teach you everything you need to know about long-term care, including all the new plans that are available. They protect your savings, they protect your family, and the plan we got pays us back if we never use it. Sign up for one of Brian's live webinars at 525longtermcare.com. It's free to attend, and you'll learn so much. Brian's class was a real eye-opener for my wife and me. Long-term care is so important. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
For the most options, including new plans that protect you and your loved ones and pay you back if you never use them, visit 525longtermcare.com to learn more and sign up for the next live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back. And, I tell you what, I get so amped up on these client of the weeks. And again, don't get hooked up on the numbers. That's what I tell everybody. What you have to understand is that the idea of long-term care planning is to put in a plan that's going to provide us, A, the funds to pay for care or part of that care, and B, the support to help manage that care. And each plan is going to be different. They could have funded this plan over 10 payments. They could have done a lump sum and some additional payments. But for a lot of people, like, you know, Ed and Patricia, Patricia just didn't want some payments. She was sitting on a bounty of money that she inherited. She didn't need that money. It wasn't counted for anything. She was able to reposition it, take it from one pocket, put a bunch of features and benefits on it, and stick it right back in the other pocket. And she knows that $300,000 she put into her plan, it's in a coffee can in the backyard, so to speak, because if they don't use it, the kids are going to go dig it up. But should they end up in long-term care, should she end up with Alzheimer's like her mom did, she knows she has $120,000 for life coming out every single year to help offset and defray those costs. And should something happen to her husband, he gets the same $120,000 for life. So that's what long-term care planning does, and I just love it. So lots of examples on our website as well, too, of some different plans that we set up if you want to wrap your mind around how some of the plans are structured financially. So I got an email as an employer at 525 Advisors talking about the Washington State CARES Act. And I'll tell you, folks, if you go to their website, just gag. I mean, honestly, gag. It's just so bogus, you know, about, oh, we did this and this and this to protect all of our citizens. And it's just a joke. It's such a tax grab. It's just a payroll tax. But for those of you that are out there as employers, if you own a company, if you have an employee, if it's a W-2 employee, you have some responsibility. Starting January 1st, 2022, you will be required to report your employer's wages and hours and collect the Washington Care premium for your employees. So that's 0.58% of every dollar that they earn. It's going to work like the paid family leave, if you're familiar with that. That comes out of the employee's paycheck, and every quarter you cut a check and you send it to the state. So that's going to be your responsibility. Now, a couple of things that I think are going to throw a few people off on this is that you have to track your employees' exemptions. Some employees may choose to apply to get out of this, like I am. I have long-term care insurance. I am a W-2 employee of the company. I am going to simply just apply to the state of Washington, and they're going to send me an exemption letter. Now, when your employees do that, they have got to bring that to you. And as an employer, you've got to keep a record of that. And once they give you that letter, then you no longer have to hold taxes out. But it's not when they bring it to you. It's going to be per quarter. So if they get that letter to you by the end of this year, they're exempted. You don't have to collect any taxes. If they don't have it to you by January 1st, you've got to collect that tax for the first quarter. So January, February, March, and then they would be exempt on the second quarter. So we have until the entire end of 2022 to get our exemption letters, but they're going to collect, they're going to segment it into quarters. If you don't have it by the first quarter, you're going to pay tax the first quarter. If you don't have it by the second quarter, you're going to pay tax for the first two quarters. And once you get your letter and you get it to your employer, you are not going to get a refund for any of those taxes that they've already collected. So keep that in mind. And so for the employers, it's just, you know, bottom line is most of you probably use a payroll company like we do, and it's just going to be another line item in there. It's going to be this payroll deduction coming right out of the W-2 earnings of your employees, and off they go. Now, again, if you're self-employed, you can opt out. If you are a 1099 contract employee, you can opt out. And once you opt out of the Washington Care Act, you are opted out permanently. Now, for everybody in the other 49 states that is listening to this podcast, if you have long-term care insurance by November 1st of this year, you have a plan in place, I would go to the Washington State CARES website and I would opt out. That website is not set up yet, but I would, once they get it set up, we'll let you know. I think it's going to be in October. I would go ahead and I would opt out of that tax. And the reason why is simple. If you live in Texas right now, and you get a and you have long-term care insurance, and you get a job in Washington in 2 years, and you transfer out here, even if it's just for a few years, you are going to have to pay the Washington state tax. And then when you move back out to Texas, well, guess what? That money is just yanked out of your paycheck. You don't get it back. You don't qualify for the benefit from this $100 a day for a year, this big long-term care benefit, because they care so much about us. you don't even get that. You have to pay in for 10 years before you are vested. But then if you move out of the state, guess what? You lose your vesting. So if I'm somewhere else, California, Colorado, there's any chance that I might move to Washington. I have any family here. I have any job prospects here. I would opt out. I would get some insurance if I don't have it, or if you already have it, if you already have it, you're set. You just need to opt out and attest that you have it, and they will ask you for proof. And so that's something to keep in mind. And folks, I will tell you, the reason why I don't have a webinar on right now is that it is unwinding out here. Almost all of the carriers have pulled out of the state of Washington because they got inundated with applications, a lot of sloppy applications. Remember, everything is medically underwritten. So if you send somebody in that doesn't qualify and you send that application into the carrier has to take that application, they have to input it, they've got to go through it, they got to get the medical records, and then, oh, they find out that, you know, this person has, hepatitis B, and they've got, they've had memory issues, and you know, they're a turndown. Well, they just paid for those medical records. They paid for the phone interview, and it's not a doable deal. So the companies have been overwhelmed. That's why they're leaving. I was talking to a CPA friend of mine the other day. He says, I'm surprised somebody hasn't come up with a solution to get all this business. I said, well, it's like trying to open up retirement accounts for a $10 a month deposit. Who's going to do that? You can't afford to do the paperwork to get that $10 into your account. So the state is really, you know, the carriers are looking at Washington State and saying, you know what, we're going to focus on the other 49 states until November. So options are somewhat limited. If you have the resources, the asset-based plans, we still have a couple choices on that. We can still get you some coverage, but lesson to be learned. If you're living in one of the other 49 states, be prepared because it's coming. It's going to spread across this country. That's just the way politics works. So thanks again for spending your week with me or your weekend this hour. I will put together another show. We'll be back next week. Any questions, any concerns, 525longtermcare.com is where you'll find some information. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Event info, planning resources, and long-term care radio podcasts can all be found at 525longtermcare.com. For show information or to sign up for a free long-term care live webinar, visit 525longtermcare.com. Tune in next Saturday morning at 8 to Long-Term Care Radio with your host, Brian Ott, on Cairo Radio.